say Dada?
Dada.
Can you say Asher?
Hello and welcome to
Family Movie Night.
Family Movie Night.
I'm Dan.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Asher.
And I'm Gwen.
And here we talk about a movie that we watched together.
But before we spoil it for you, dear listener, we quickly let you know how much we like the movie and if we recommend it.
And we let our kids chime in before they go to bed.
We watched My Little Pony, the movie.
Twilight Sparkle, Applejack, Rainbow Dash, Pinkie Pie, Fluttershy, and Rarity embark on an epic journey to save Ponyville from a dark force. Along the way, the main six meet new friends and face exciting challenges as they travel beyond Equestria to defeat the evil Storm King and his minion unicorn, Tempest Shadow.
Now we will tell you briefly what we thought of the movie and whether or not we recommend it. Would I recommend this movie to a discerning parent as myself? I'd say yes. I thought it was pretty good. I kind of had low expectations, but it was fine. It was good. How about you, Jamie?
I thought it was fun to watch with the kids, and mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't want to watch it all by myself.
Yeah, I'm the same way. All right, what do you think, Asher? Would you recommend it to a friend?
A fellow brony?
Well, I'm not a brony, first of all.
Mom was joking.
When I was little, I was.
What do you say?
If I made my expectations higher, then I wouldn't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
But I started my expectations so low that I'd expect them to be singing like after every 5 minutes of doing something.
Okay.
And it turns out there was only 6 songs, so it's possible that they did it after every 20 seconds of doing something.
Minutes. So.
20 minutes, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, you're kind of a mix. What do you say, Gwen? You going to recommend this to your friends? I think it's a slam dunk for you.
No.
No?
You were laughing.
Are there, like, social connotations really that you'd have to endure if you were to recommend
this? Most things I like. So I might recommend it to
Gwen,
some friends. And then, yeah,
if your life depended on it and you and your friends were in a metal box and could only watch TV and you ran out of shows to watch, would you tell them, let's watch My Little Pony, the movie?
You are so crazy.
I say that's a solid maybe from Gwen. I think Gwen liked it. I don't know why she's so...
Social reasons. Yeah.
And there were jokes that we all laughed at.
Yeah. All right.
I liked most parts.
You liked most parts. All right. Gwen liked most parts. And we can talk about what parts she didn't like after we fire off the spoiler horn.
Alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right, everybody. We're past the spoiler horn. And now we're going to talk about it.
Let's start spoiling.
All right.
Spoil.
Like spoiled milk.
Asher, tell me some parts that you liked.
Or
didn't like.
I don't get the backstory of the storm person.
Tempest.
Because it seems like she was very 2D in her decision. She was like, oh, friends are replaceable. And it's like, she stood up to a bear, and those other ponies are void of human and pony emotion. And so then she magically meets Storm, and he uses her, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get some of the parts of her backstory.
All right. That's pretty insightful.
Okay.
I thought her explaining her backstory was pretty silly.
It was
like
done
the timing
song.
And yeah, all that stuff. But I didn't really think about the content of it. But
it's like you
have some good points. Gwen, tell me something you liked or didn't like.
I liked when Fluttershy was talking to the Yeti thing.
Yeah.
And so.
And he was crying.
Yeah, he was crying when she.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good.
And Fluttershy was trying to comfort him, and then they had to go.
Yeah.
If I were her, I would have done that. I would have just sent Fluttershy in to make the whole Yeti army, like,
crying baby.
And have her try and make them feel good. Okay, you're doing great, Fluttershy. Move on. Be the boss.
All right. So this is a movie based on a TV show, based on a TV show, based on some toys. I'm not sure exactly what the heritage of this is, but Asher and Gwen have seen all the My Little Ponies on Netflix.
When we were five.
Yeah, when they were a little younger, but I think they would still watch them today if they were on.
Nope.
That's fine. But aren't you glad you watched My Little Pony so you could enjoy the Threw It on the Ground parody?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
All right. I'll put a link in the show notes.
So I wanted to know if there was anything that you guys felt was different in the movie than was in the TV. Like, not story-wise, but just, like, in general. Did you notice anything that was different?
Mom commented how there's a galaxy inside each one of their eyes.
A lot of extra sparkle in
and
their
it's
irises.
True. It's, like, so much sparkle. It looks like you're staring into the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're in a bad mood, it's, like, even more sparkly. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
There's a lot going on in those eyes.
Mm-hmm. It's...
Yeah. The tears eyes? Are sort of weird, because on both sides the tears...
Was the animation style different?
No. It doesn't look that much. I mean, yeah.
Sometimes
eyes?
It was different.
Yeah, I
the
think...
The eyes are different.
I just felt like there's more detail put
right.
in there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like when Yu-Gi-Oh! Got the...
A reference... Most people will understand. Yeah, go on.
No, it's a reference nobody would understand. And in fact,
I make them all the time.
Can cut this off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want you to.
What is it like? Tell me, though.
It's like how in Yu-Gi-Oh! For the originals, it's like Yugi doesn't look that human. And then when you go to the movie, with all three people, they have lots more colors and anime styles and detail. Mm-hmm. So Yugi looks way more like human.
I didn't even know they had a Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie.
Yeah, they did. It's called Bonds Beyond Time.
Should we watch that for family movie nights?
Yeah!
What did you guys think of that chubby little bad guy?
The Mr. Porcupine that showed up first.
Yeah.
That was a total Angry Birds the movie copy. They just came in on a big ship and then a little guy comes out and...
I thought of that when I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, it's like Angry Birds, which isn't high praise. But it's fine. Asher, what did you say when the intro music was playing at the beginning? What did you say about subtitles? You said the subtitles would say terrible music playing.
Oh, yeah. At the beginning, so there was just ponies flying through, and it was talking about ponies, like,
going to
like,
Equestria.
We're flying on a road. The pony's walking Falling on the road. They the got speed. The pee. Yeah.
Stupid music.
So terrible. But it was so good, well written, and so musically great. But the words were just terrible. The ponies flying on the road. Look at and Dad and all the ponies walking on the road.
They're going to go to... We know they're going to go to Equestria.
All right, thank you for that. Okay, so this might be a stupid question, but do you... I can't even get it out.
What?
Do you think this movie had a message?
Every message is friendship in My Little Pony.
Friendship is magic.
And you break up with your friends and you call them stupid dorks, they will come back together because they're very touchy-feely. Yay!
All right.
I also liked where they said it's the... power of, and then the Yeti and
yeah,
friendship, magic, ponies, and bling.
It's kind of a silly thing to ask, but I do like that about My Little Pony, that they are kind to people and that kindness is returned, and I like that as a theme and as a message.
I feel like Rarity just gave like a few silk and buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave her, like, the sacrifice of his life.
I understand. It's hard to swallow sometimes, but I still like it as a concept. And it's very repetitive, right? You've seen, you know, 48 episodes of this bless a movie, and I still like it. Because I guess it's something I believe. So that's okay to repeat those kinds of messages.
Yeah, me and Asher are also bothered, like how they have nothing as a sacrifice at all.
And yeah.
Yeah, they have
they
nothing.
Get everything
they never they take need. Losses, huh?
Yeah,
no collateral damage.
Oh, you put the stick in the ground and everything works again.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a less, you know, mature storyline and less complicated, right?
They take losses and never get any damage from that. They mm-hmm. don't show scars from past battles.
Yeah.
Except for Tempest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She does, but she's not
I
really
liked that they didn't fix her at the end.
Yeah.
Right? That was kind of, you know, that was
but
atypical
she,
for
but
a
she figured
perfect
out.
Real.
Stitching
she
up movie.
She was the only person that worked out her needs.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other ponies just had to get it. They just had to build the island back up again
mm-hmm.
with a magical
with
stick.
Magic, yeah.
And had to get their powers back.
Mm-hmm. Friendship is magic. Also, there's actual magic that can lift things and fix castles and stuff. So, mm-hmm. I get it. Yeah, the stakes aren't high.
Or they are, but they're easily fixed.
Yeah, they're not like absolute or whatever.
And it's like they're like we're gonna go down and or die trying. And it's like there's a 75 million% chance that you're gonna go down,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna go down dying.
But they didn't.
They have magical powers. Like she had Twilight locked up in a cage. Just kill her already. When
yeah.
she's incapacitated, thunder her. That should do the trick.
Mm-hmm. But she
absorb her dead magic.
Yeah, she didn't have any green balls left to crystallize her to put her into Terra Genesis.
Then why did the monkey have one?
He had one.
Then why did he have one?
He had one.
If she was supposed to do the job, then why did he have one?
In case she ran out.
Back up.
Well, any other comments? Should we wrap this up?
What if they miss? He's putting it all on this aim. What if she was terrible at javelin?
No, I get it, Asher. It's pretty silly. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Bad guys should have a plan B.
We
not
always
a...
compare everything to real life.
Well, so what Gwen is saying, maybe, is this movie has a certain amount of seriousness in it, right? And it's not much. Okay. They're joking about, you know, like, oh, I don't think now is a good time to sing songs. The scene with the pirates and everything where they're about to throw them overboard and it's like, oh, it's lunchtime. And then they're just eating slop together, right? The movie isn't taking itself very seriously. And so that's a signal to us that we don't need to take it very seriously. And it doesn't always work. It's not always an excuse to make, you know, silly
choices.
Yeah, silly choices. But you can balance that, you know, with the silliness you want to have, you can balance that with the, you know, with how seriously you tell the audience that you're taking the movie. So that's all it is, Asher, is yes, you're right. Like those things are pretty ridiculous. Like the main baddie's backstory and how
the mechanics of
yeah,
the bad
I'm
guys,
sort of bothered how there's about the Tempest backstory,
mm-hmm. and how there's no lasting consequences to the good guys. They win in the end, and then everything's back to greatness. Right?
And nobody gets hurt. Nobody dies.
It's all silly, but at the same time, the people who made the movie kind of put in little notes along the way, like, "Hey, you don't need to take this seriously. This is just kind of a movie about a little journey and a success." You know, it's a movie about magical ponies. So how seriously do we need to take this? So that's all. What do you think, Asher? Does that sound reasonable?
I know that this is a kids movie mm-hmm. where you shouldn't take things seriously.
Yeah, but we do anyway. Yeah, go on.
I don't, like, I think that for me it's a serious problem that the bad guys don't get as much power as they deserve.
Yeah, you okay. just think like, that it's not balanced, and if you were actually writing from the bad person's point of view, that you would try to make it a little bit more fair and harder for the good guys to win.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, we've been yeah. talking about this for a little longer than I thought
was,
we
yeah,
would.
Yeah, I'm way surprised. But yeah, you're totally right, Asher. Yeah, that's how we feel about a lot of movies. So, You're definitely developing a critical eye. I don't know how I feel about that. But do you remember what we used to say? We put our kids to bed because it's late and we don't want to spoil their innocent spirits with our
criticism.
Like, I feel like you've learned how
spoiled.
To yeah. You're spoiled now. But it just means that you've kind of grown out of, you know, childhood a little bit in as far as movie watching goes. So,
Dad, I'm 10 years old.
I know.
I'm not the 7-year-old you take out to movies and I say, well, it wasn't that happy, so I didn't like the movie. Or it was happy, so the movie is great.
Apparently not. Yep. All right. Do you have any closing statements, Gwen?
I hate Asher's complaining.
Okay. Do you have any closing statements, Asher? I think you've said it.
How about friendship is magic?
Friendship makes impossible things possible because the movie makers feel like it.
All right. I love you, Asher. I love you, Gwen. Good night.
Good night.
Sweet ones.
We send the kids to bed because it's late and because we don't want to bore them with our critique.
If you like what you hear on Family Movie Night, please share with your friends. We're a new podcast and we're trying to get more listeners and we hope to be able to find them. And the only way we know how is to reach out to you and ask. Reviews on iTunes can help also. Tweeting, Facebook, any kind of sharing. We'd really appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. So Asher's response was amazing. Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, I understand his frustration because I have done that with books before. Said, okay, you as a author have set me up in this world with these rules, with this character. And you know, you've set these parameters. And I think that there should be some sort of sacrifice or something happening because that's what you have led me to believe. And then like, nope, it all gets tied up in a pretty bow and it drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of understand that. But honestly, I was not expecting that response for this movie because it's just a My Little Pony movie.
Yeah.
And they've watched My Little Pony a million times on TV, you know, a while ago, but still.
It was interesting because it was when I asked him tonight, I was, you know, a little concerned because he's a boy and his My Little Pony, but he watched it before, right? So I was like, hey, how would you feel about watching My Little Pony the movie? And he sounded enthusiastic and he was like, sure, you know. And then I asked Gwen and she like thought about it for a minute and she's like, sure, you know. I got kind of opposite reactions from them, and yeah, like I introduced the show to them because I heard it was good, because it dealt, you know, like it wasn't, you know, about fighting to solve your problems and, you know, conquering foes. It was about, you know, being kind to people and having that return to you, which I thought was novel and great. And I watched it and it was, you know, it was fun. And I watched a few with them and I've liked that franchise or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a great thing to teach to kids because you don't see that very often. I mean, there's what, like Mr. Rogers and like, that's about it. I mean, of course there are more shows that promote kindness, but not to the level of like where it's the moral of every story. Mm-hmm. And it is very, you know, whose quote is that? Abraham Lincoln, like I destroy my enemies when I make them my friends or something like that. So yeah, I dig that. I think that that's a really valid and wonderful thing to teach to children.
Yeah. And so when I saw the movie and the trailer, I was like, well, I don't know if it's going to be as good as a movie as it is as a TV show. And it's not like it's amazing as a TV show. It just seems really good for kids and it's tolerable for adults, right? Like, and there is actually, you know, being a nerdy kind of guy, there's a character in there. Hold on. What's his name? Chaos, maybe? And he's voiced by, and he's basically the same character as Star Trek The Next Generation's Q. And it's just a great little kind of hat tip kind of thing because he's kind of all powerful like Q. And I don't know. I was like, wait, this is Q. And they're watching, you know, My Little Pony with Q, but his name is Chaos and it's fun. And they turn Q into a friend. Chaos. But they turn him into a friend and it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, they kind of do the same thing. There is a big baddie that does get smashed.
He gets destroyed. Mm-hmm. I know. I thought that that was pretty different for My Little Pony, that they actually turned him into a statue and he crushed into pieces. Mm-hmm. Like that, I was actually kind of, that was the most shocking moment of the movie for me. I'm like, oh, you guys just decided to do that. Okay.
Yeah. They also smashed a balloon. A balloon animal named Brian.
Name. I know. Oh, Brian. Yeah, they had lots of little silly one-liners mm-hmm. in here that were pretty funny. I wondered if this movie was going to have merit mm-hmm. on its own, like as a movie. Like if I had never seen the TV show mm. and if I just went in and watched it as a movie. And I kind of think...
Maybe not.
Maybe not, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was watching it, and I don't know. Like, I guess I had low expectations, but maybe I had, like, secret high hopes, right?
Cause yeah.
I think I was probably rooting for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, low expectations plus rooting for it is, like, a recipe for, like,
kind of
liking enjoying it.
Yeah.
As long as it's not terrible. I like that, like, Twilight has, like, is a nerd right at the beginning. She has, like, this whiteboard, and she's explaining the angles of the sun and everything to these, you know,
yeah,
princesses.
Yeah, she's always been a studious character.
Bookish person. And, yeah, she's fun. And, yeah, there were funny things like Hungry Hungry Hippos was a line, like a spread out
a reference.
Line. Yeah, and I don't know, is that still a game or is that a reference for the parents of these kids?
I don't know.
Like us, I don't know.
I think it's still a game, but it's not like super popular.
Right. And
like it was in the 80s or whatever it was,
yeah.
90s.
And I guess we wouldn't know if it's like, if there's commercials for it, because we don't.
Yeah, have that.
Yeah, we don't have commercials in our life. I got a little tense. It's funny. So they go into this strange town. They come out of a desert. And the beginning reminded me a lot of Star Wars, right? Like this this second in command big baddie comes into town looking for some, you know, and then they're chased through the desert. I don't know. It wasn't that similar, but like the emperor appears in a hologram.
Sure.
Anyway.
That was funny too, like the bad
phone call.
What did they call it? It wasn't bad cell service, spell service.
And like that fit in this movie, but it didn't fit in The Last Jedi. Okay. So they go into this rough town. Like, I don't know. I still on the Star Wars thing kind of reminded me of Mos Eisley. So they get to this weird, you know, pale place and people are treating them weird, and it felt, maybe that felt tonally strange that they were like eyed like with like the intent to abuse them in some way.
Yeah.
Like there was like a menacing
feeling.
That was
another thing that was weird to me mm-hmm. was the way that people were treating them. Like, oh, we want to sell
you. Yeah.
Like we want to sell you,
yeah,
you know,
sell you,
like yikes.
Like to what, to who,
to
for
what?
End? Yeah.
And, yeah. It was very weird. I thought.
Sure. Anyway, they're there, and then this cat, like, turns around, and I'm like, oh, no, they're going to have a man save him? Like, it was, like, I didn't like it, right? And then as he's saving them, I'm like, oh, he's interested for himself. And I'm like, okay, that's acceptable.
So that they could discover that, and
right.
then,
but then
somehow
they start,
still make him their
right.
friend,
then
and
they start
friendship
helping,
is magic,
yeah.
yay.
Then they start helping him. I'm like, oh, okay, he has a good heart. He's just on rough times. Anyway, you know, it was fine. You know, that's what
I was
they
just
do.
Looking around his place thinking, I can see a lot of things you could sell in here for money mm-hmm. if you owe this guy money, you
he
know?
He doesn't want to. He wants those things. Another good line was when they get on the pirate ship and they show them the skull flag.
Oh, that was funny.
What is it, Pinkie Pie or the other one?
Pinkie Pie. She's crazy.
Yeah, Pinkie Pie. I met that guy in the desert.
Because it was a skull mm-hmm. and she saw a skull in the desert. Yeah, that was one of my favorite lines, actually.
Yeah, it was good. They go to the hippogriffs and but they're mer horses now. I don't know if they have a name.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was interesting. And they made quick friends. And I guess just the one came and she didn't seem all that pivotal. She did fight a
yeah,
few.
That's
but...
one of the things that I also had an issue with mm-hmm. about the storyline of this story was, you know, the only information that she was given, like it was basically like deathbed information mm-hmm. from
hippo.
Princess Celestia or whatever. Like, you need to go and find the queen of the hippo. And then it was like, oh, no more, you know, but like that was like the information she needed for mm-hmm. her journey, you know. And then they go... and they find them, and none of them, like the queen of the hippogriffs, doesn't do anything for them. She does zero things for them. So it's a little weird, I think, to set up a story where you have to go find this thing or this person that's going to help you, and then you end up finding them, and then it's like, never mind, you know, like. Yeah,
but that's what I expected, right? Because they were like, oh, we're home free, and I said, any guesses to what they'll find there? And then I whispered to you, nothing is my guess. And they found a little more than nothing, but that's what the story seemed to be saying, is like, look, you know, you need to solve this problem. You're not going to get a magic, powerful army on your side.
But sort of, yes. I mean, like, there's always like crazy magic stuff that happens to help the heroes or whatever in My Little Pony. But I felt like when they were there in the ghost town and whatever, mm-hmm. I was like, well, at least somehow they're going to have to find... like how their demise happened, or like, you know, maybe we're not getting exactly what we thought we were going to get, but they need to have something come from this adventure. Otherwise you're just
right. But what they're
kicking around for no reason, you know, like
what I expected is that, you know, as they journey to this place, and you know, like the Celestia didn't know that they were gone. Right. It's not like she was sending him on a wild goose chase like Ninjago movie. Like, but the idea is you go on this journey and you learn about yourself so that you can conquer your foes.
Yeah.
That was what story I thought they were telling.
That's
and they kind of did.
Wizard of Ozzy, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Dorothy starts alone and then she picks up people along the way. Right. She finds out about herself and then she realizes she had the power within her all along, right?
Yeah.
I mean, or it's, on her feet it's, the whole
it's,
time.
Yeah, it's silly, explicit, weird thing. It's like, why didn't you tell me at the beginning, right?
Right. But it's like, it's oh, but we needed to, but I just felt like there needed to be some sort of explanation or something, which there never was. And yes, they did pick up the princess. I mm-hmm. guess Christian yeah. Chenoweth voiced that princess and she was delightful, but
I thought that all of them would come but the queen. When, you know, when she comes out of the water, I'm like, okay, great, can you bring all of them? But no, right. You know, so I kind of thought like that would be a good payoff if they all came, right, and the queen could stay home, that's fine. But like if they right. all came, like, yes. hey, we had a great time and you need our help, let's go. You know, the queen is too afraid, but we aren't. I thought that would have been better. And then army versus army.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that would have been better. More
Star Wars. Sure. No, I felt like it was also a little weird that the princess was like, oh, I'm probably going to get grounded. My mom's going to be mad at me or whatever for coming with you on this, you know, journey to try to, like, I don't know.
Yeah, save your town.
Save your town. But I just didn't feel like she did anything, right? Like, she had no purpose. Right.
She, like, knocked over a few bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was nothing pivotal about it. Which, you know, but if they would have had an army of hippogriff...
Then that would have been a little more helpful.
Right.
Yeah. So, honestly, if I was on the storyboarding process with this one, I would have raised my hand for this moment and been like, we need to do something more with this.
More hippogriffs to battle these abominable snowmen. So, yeah. All right. Well, we fixed that problem. I thought Tempest looked pretty cool, you know, broken horn.
I liked the way she looked,
sparking. And,
and I thought that was a cool idea to have a broken horn and have it be still kind of magical, but like a little, like crazy magic, right? Like that electricity type thing rather than something that's more beautiful and flowing like Celestia's hair.
Right. The worst part of the movie was Tempest's Open Your Eyes song. Not because she sang poorly or anything. It was just felt strange. It was just like, okay, you're not even going to monologue. You're going to sing a monologue about your backstory. I don't know.
And the thing is that I have often been impressed with the music for My Little Ponies, but I'm kind of like, oh, interesting. Like, you guys actually like wrote a good song for this. And that's not always right. Like, sometimes they're just kind of mediocre songs or whatever. But for this movie, I thought most of it was kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
And that's too bad, you know. But I don't know if I should even say this. We just saw The Greatest Showman and I thought like, oh, maybe it was written by the same people who wrote that music, because it was just kind of pedestrian, you know, like that like, and then I'm going to look over to the left and look sad, you know, whatever. It just, I don't know. I everyone needs to go to the workshops that Stephen Schwartz gives for musicals and take some notes from him, because you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Well, anything to say about the ending?
Not really.
I thought it was fine. You know, yeah, like they show
Asher
up.
Asher got really angry yeah. about it, but really I was angry. Fine with it.
I was surprised they didn't fix her horn.
Yeah. Like,
you know, I thought she had the staff there. She could have fixed it, but she didn't. But I was like pleasantly surprised, I guess, that, you know, she could be whole without her horn being fixed.
Right. You can, and her you'll scar. Be accepted anyway. And, yeah. and you can still make fireworks in the sky.
Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciated that.
Yeah, that was nice. That was like the closest that they've gotten, actually, to like not tying everything up in a pretty little mm-hmm. bow.
Yeah, because it seemed like they had the power.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe she should have offered. Like, Twilight could have said, like, hey, I got this staff before we put Equestria back together. Would you like me to, you know, give you a makeover?
Yeah.
And she could have said, you know what? I'm good, right? Like, yeah, that would have been great.
That would have been nice. And, mm-hmm. I mean, there were some cliche lines thrown around as well. Like, the big bad was like, I used you. Yeah. Don't you understand? Mm-hmm. I used you, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay. Yeah. We don't. And I guess it's a little kid's movie, so maybe you need to spell it out for little kids, yeah. you know? But
maybe.
But as an adult, you sit there and you kind of, okay.
Yeah, and, you know,
they
kind of tried to play it like, is vaudeville the right word?
Like that villain twirling his mustache yeah, type thing.
A sure. little bit like that, right? Where, you know, he's like saying like he's evil. And
yes.
When he was playing with the sun and the moon and the staff, and I was like, I just thought to myself, like, I wonder if I would do that. I probably would do that.
Yeah, that would I actually thought that was pretty on point, that right. whole thing. I was like, totally, yeah.
I mean,
you're such some crazy psychotic guy. Of course you're going to be like Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I don't know. There's something about that, right? Because, you know, it's a thing. It's a trope in movies to like have the bad guy like do something silly with the power that they've just been given or whatever. And it's kind of fun and cute. But I was thinking, like, yeah, if I had a staff that could change the night to day just like that, that'd be awesome. Like, just, mm-hmm. like, mess with the lighting of the world. Like,
yeah, it's
I guess,
a little kid discovering a light switch, you know?
Yeah. I hope I wouldn't, like, disrupt, you know, solar power to countries or whatever. But just,
make
like...
volcanoes yeah, erupt.
I'm thinking, like, as a photographer, like, let's move the sun right there.
You want to hire me for your wedding.
Yeah.
I got this staff so that I could have the perfect lighting for your photo.
What time? Noon? No problem. Magic hour, here we come.
We can make that work. I have a powerful staff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, overall, I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not a life-changing movie at all, but... Yeah,
I can't believe how serious Asher... He couldn't let go of, like, the seriousness. And, I tried to, like, you know, talk him down, but I feel that way about movies sometimes. And it's like...
Absolutely. Well, and if somebody doesn't understand or doesn't feel the same way you do, it's like you just feel so, about it, like, frustrated. And I felt like that recently about
with
movies.
The Greatest Showman.
So, yeah, where, like, 98% of my friends are in love with it. And I'm just like, don't you see? It's a big faker. I don't know. Like, so I get that passion. And I think that that's kind of amazing that he has that.
Yeah. He's 10. He's not the 7-year-old that likes all the movies anymore. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. What have we done?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he's like at 12 and 14
and
16. And
poor Gwen just wanted to sort of like it.
Yeah, and she couldn't. We should have asked her first, I guess.
Yeah.
Because even after we were like, yeah, it's a good movie. And then as soon as you said, like, I wouldn't watch it alone, she was like, wait, this isn't a perfect movie? You know?
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah. All right, everyone, keep your kids away from us. And we hope you enjoyed this podcast. And we hope you enjoyed My Little Pony, the movie.
Yes.
And have a great time. Good night.
Good night. I can see your soul.